Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program, for making it a part of your day on Monday, the eighth day of the month of Cheshvan. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Gershon Schaffel, Mora D'Asra of the Young Israel of Skokie in Skokie, Illinois, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Schaffel slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. They're chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'cholim and Achinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Schaffel to learn more about his wonderful community in Skokie. In addition to being mindful of all those whom we are davening, praying for, please include in your tefillot, your prayers, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. The Hebrew name is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. That's Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chabod, with great honor, Rabbi Schaffel.
Rabbi Herman, thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of the sponsors as well. And for all of you who are joining us today for this thought, hopefully, of Chizuk, to give some thoughts and some strength to what we are facing. In this week's Parsha, we are introduced to Avram Avinu, Avram our patriarch and Sarah our matriarch. And it's well known, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the sages tell us that Avram Avinu, that Abraham the patriarch was tested in 10 areas. And the idea, the notion that Avram was tested in 10 areas is an interesting thing to consider, because when we talk about a nisayon as a test, so we may think about it in terms of our own experience. Maybe there are people on the call who took the GRE, or there are people who took the LSAT, and you think of it a test in terms of determining whether or not the student has the requisite knowledge to be able to move on to the next level or not. But seemingly, there's no reason that Hashem, that God, should have to test Avram Avinu. If God is all-knowing, if he's omniscient, so he already knows whether or not Avram could pass the GRE or pass the LSAT or what score he's going to get. So what is the function, what was God trying to accomplish by giving Avram Avinu these tests? And the truth is that the confusion, our question arises, really from a mistranslation. Because Nisayon doesn't really mean test in the sense like a GRE or an LSAT, but really it is an opportunity that Hashem gives to a person, in this case Avram Avinu, Abraham our patriarch, in order to actualize his potential. Hashem saw that there was potential inside of Abraham, which had as of yet been untapped, and in order to go ahead and tap into that potential, to allow Abraham to tap into that potential, Hashem had to give him what we call a nisayon, or a test. Think, for example, an apple seed. An apple seed contains with it the ability to grow into a tree, and from that tree you could have hundreds and thousands of bushels of apples and future generations of trees, and all of that is contained within that very simple apple seed. But in order for the apple seed to grow, it has to be in the right conditions. It has to be in the proper dirt. It has to get the proper irrigation. It has to have the proper sunlight. If you take that apple seed and you just put it onto concrete, so nothing, none of that potential and none of those trees and future generations of trees and thousands of apples will ever be able to materialize if the apple seed isn't put into the correct conditions. So people also have to be put into the correct conditions in order to actualize their potential. And now the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are the proper conditions that we need in order to be able to actualize our potential? A couple of years back, I decided that I found the perfect gift for one of my sons. I was going to buy him something which was going to cause him immense pain. It's going to cause him great distress. And by the time he's done using it, he's just going to be utterly and thoroughly exhausted. And I wasn't doing it sadistically. I was doing it out of my love and affection that I have for this particular son. And I knew that when I get it for him, he's going to thank me. Now, why would he possibly thank me for a gift that I give him, which is going to cause him pain and distress? It's because he was into working out. And having some of this workout equipment is going to allow him to be able to actualize his workout goals. And even though there's going to be pain and there's going to be distress along the way, it's something which is going to allow him to be able to achieve his potential, and therefore he'd be very thankful for that. We think of stress as a dirty word, that any stress is bad, but the truth is that there is good stress and there is bad stress. Good stress is when it's under control and when it's under conditions which are going to allow a person to be able to actualize their potential. Somebody who's working out, lifting weights, or running, preparing for a marathon, so they have to push themselves and they have to put their body under stress. But all that stress is good because it's under control and it's going to allow them to be able to realize their goals. When Hashem gives us a nisayon, really what he's doing is he's putting us into the conditions, into the environment which is necessary for us to be able to actualize our potential. And therefore, when we face the nisayon, the question that we must ask ourselves is not why is Hashem doing this or why is this happening? The correct question that we have to ask ourselves in order to utilize this nisayon in this test properly is to ask ourselves, what could I gain from this? Or how could I grow from this this experience? And I think it's evident to everybody who's on the call that we could spend a lot of time wondering why exactly the virus is here and why is this happening and all the impact that it has on us. But we're not going to get much from asking ourselves the question, why is this happening and why am I suffering so much? Really, we have to refocus our question and say, what could I gain from this? How am I going to be able to grow from this this experience? It's my bracha, my sincere blessing to each and every one of you, that we should take this challenge that we face, both collectively, communally, as well as individually, how it manifests and expresses itself in each of our personal lives, and we should be able to grow from it. We should have the potential that Hashem sees in us, which we may not even see and realize is there. We should have the opportunity to be able to actualize it and to be able to achieve our destiny in terms of our relationship with Hashem and our relationship with the Jewish people. Now, we will recite the first chapter of Tehillim that we're going to say is chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai roi lo echsar. Binos desha yarbitzeni, amei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshoviv yancheni b'magle tzedek l'ma'an shemo. Gam ki eilech b'geit salmoves, lo ira ra, ki ato imadi. Shivtecha umishantecha heme yinachamuni, taroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorai, dishanta v'shemen roshi, kosi rivayo, ach tov v'chesed yudefuni, ko yimei chayai, v'shavti b'veis adonoi l'orech yomim. Next chapter that we recite is chapter 121, Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shilamilos, Esainai el haharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri ne'im adonoi, osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishon, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tirlecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, v'yarech ba'layla. Adonai yishmorcha mikora yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeisecha uvoecha mi'ata v'ad olam. And the last chapter that we say is chapter 130, Perek Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-malos, mimam akim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai, shema v'koli, tiyena aznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunoi. Im avonos tishmor yoh, Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imecha ha-selicha le'ma'an tivarei. Ki visi Adonai, ki vesa nafshi v'lidvaro ho-chalti. Nafshi la'adonoi, mishomrim la'boker, shomrim la'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedus, v'hu yivdeh es Yisrael mikol avonosav. Now we recite the Mishaberech, the prayer for the ill. When we get to the part to insert the names, I will pause there for a brief moment so everybody could insert the names of the those who are ill for whom you would like to pray. Mishaberch Avoseinu, Avram Mitzvah Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, David Shlomo, Hu Yivarch Virape Es HaCholen. Bavur, Shakol HaKol HaKadosh HaZeh, Bitzchar Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimalei Rachamim Aleim Lachlimam, Laraposam Ulachzikam Ulachiyosam, Yishlach Lehen Mehe Refua Shreim Lamin HaShemayim Lechol Evareim Ulechol Gideim, Besof Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael, Refua Sanefesh Urefua Saguf, Hashta Bagala Uvizman Tariv V'nomar Amen. And we conclude for a prayer for the well-being of the entire Jewish people. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanasunin betzar uveshivya, haomdim ben bayam uven bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleim v'yotziem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela laora, umishubi l'geula, hashta bagala v'zman tariv, v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Shapel. As we transition to the next portion of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank God. We are doing well. Blei Ein Hara, we are, with God's help, we remain safe and healthy. Everybody's trying to adjust to what we think is the new normal, although it's constantly changing. Over this time, I had one son who already is married. I have a daughter who's getting married, God willing. So planning a wedding during these times is, needless to say, is challenging. But we take it day by day, and hopefully we'll we will all come out stronger as a result.
Chassid Hashem and Mazel Tov on the wedding. And I also want to get back to that topic of change in a moment. But before we get there, for those of us who may never have had the opportunity to visit, to be in Skokie, if you could give us some background, talk a little bit about the community overall and more specifically about the Young Israel.
Sure. I'm actually born and bred in Skokie. So I have a unique perspective. It's a Skokie is a suburb just north of Chicago. It's a wonderful community, a very warm community. It's one which is growing on a weekly basis. More and more people are moving, thank God, and the community is very strong. It's a very vibrant community. A little handicapped at the moment in terms of what we are able to do, but a very strong and vibrant community. The Young Israel of Skokie, where I have the schus, the merit to be the rabbi, so is 26 years old. It is started and continues to be populated by people who are extremely dedicated to their spiritual growth, to their relationship with Hashem. They're unbelievably sincere in terms of their commitment to davening and to learning, and we make an effort to be able to grow together. We all see ourselves as unfinished products and people who are looking to grow and expand both in terms of our Torah knowledge and very importantly in our relationship with Hashem, specifically through davening, through prayer.
Absolutely, sounds truly wonderful. So let's get back to the comment before about living in this new normal, living through change, and changes as quote unquote superficial as the social distancing and mask wearing and so on. But thinking about all the innovation and the changes to our davening, changes to our learning, obviously the technology and Zoom and so on. But when we think about our communities, the broader Jewish community, and perhaps for you more specifically in Skokie as the Young Israel of Skokie, what communal changes do you anticipate? What do you think is going to stick when we try and look forward in years, Hashem, please God, to a post-COVID-19 world?
It's going to be a challenge due to all of the restrictions which we've had to get used to and become accustomed to, like a shorter davening and stuff of that sort. Some of those things may be difficult, to turn back. That's a fear I think that rabbis have, is that people are going to become too used to davening at home, or they're going to be used to a shorter davening, whether it's during the weekday, whether it's on Shabbos, or whether it's on Yontif, or something like that. And people won't, maybe hesitant to rejoin and to put themselves in or to return to what we used to consider to be normal, which in many ways now seems like a distant memory. But what we've been trying to do is we've been trying to stay current, to make the most of what we could, and to use this as an opportunity to grow. We had a class, for example, before Rosh Hashanah, where we went through the Masdar. Now, from this new perspective, since there are many people who don't feel comfortable yet going to shul, so I wanted to make sure that they had very clear which things they have to say at home, in which things are optional to say at home, in which things, as an individual without a minion, without a quorum, are not allowed to be said at home. And everybody enjoyed that class very much because it gave them an opportunity to look at the whole Siddur and look at the Rosh Hashanah davening, for example, from this new perspective. And, we gave explanations along the way what each prayer was intended to convey. So it turned out that we were able to use that opportunity of people not attending shul as a springboard for growth for everybody to understand their davening better. So that's really what we try and do throughout this thing, and hopefully the salvation of Hashem could happen in the blink of an eye, Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin, and we hope that Hashem will see fit very soon for us to be able to go back to that, because that's I think still after all this we still see that that's where our growth primarily is going to occur.
Near to Hashem, we certainly hope that just like it came, it can go away just as quickly. We'll certainly keep doing our part, and these calls undoubtedly help. I always like to think that over the course of now approaching almost 8 months of these daily calls, exception of Yom Tov, but every Sunday, every weekday, literally millions and millions of words of tefillah that have been said on these calls. And even though we're sitting in separate places across the country and around the world, I would see on my screen France, Germany, Eretz Yisrael, Canada, and so on. Really unbelievable. People around the world calling in to be mechazik each other. So we might be separate wherever we are, but our tefillos undoubtedly are coming together. They're making an impact. Our daily of learning of Torah together is making a difference. Rabbi Shapel, I want to thank you so much for giving us of your time and for being on the call for today, and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good. May the Rabboni Sholem, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Elisha Friedman of Kesher Israel Congregation in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.